It gives me a great honor. We can hardly wait today to have Pastor Mario Hauser come up, deliver a word. And that word is going to bless all of us. We just declare it in the name of Jesus. That word that is going to be delivered today will bless all of us. So Pastor Mario, thank you. Thank you. Come on up.
All right. Getting right. Appreciate it, sir. Thank you. What's going on, everybody? I'm so glad to be here with you all this afternoon. The Lord showed up and met us in Wycliffe this morning, and we had a great time there, and then we had to skedaddle and get over here with you all. So we're going to get right to it. But before we do, I want you to start preparing your hearts and minds for giving. Now, I know last week we sowed our spring seed. Amen. And we are praying, and we know that that seed fell on good ground. Yeah. We know that that seed fell on good ground. The thing I want you to remember, however, is in sowing today is that the field still needs to be plowed. Yeah. We still have to plow the field. We still got to ensure that the harvest is ripe. Now, we know that the one that's going to push the harvest forward is the Lord. Amen? Amen. But faith without works is what? Amen. All right, we know the word. Faith without works is this. So we still got work to do. So as you prepare your hearts and your minds, I understand it's a sacrifice. My wife and I were expecting our son, by the way. Got that boy. We had a Josiah. We had the reveal yesterday. Friday. We had a great time, but nonetheless, things have been a little tight. I'm just going to be honest with you. For our family, my wife had to cut back on some hours, and I'm still in the job grinding it out, what have you. But I'm still going to sow. Amen. I'm still going to sow sacrificially because I know that the ground that I'm sowing in is going to reap a harvest. And I know that no matter what, that at the end of the day, that the Lord is going to stand on his word. Yeah. And that the return of my blessing will be pressed down. Yeah. And it'll be shaken. Yeah. And it's going to be over in abundance. And when he opens up the windows, yeah, we're just going to receive. Yeah. So we're getting ready to give. So you can give by filling out the envelope. You can give using your mobile device on the app, but nonetheless, give. There's work to do, and we need help. Just give. Amen? Amen. Amen. That being said, I'm excited to preach today. I do have a word for the Lord. Let's pray for the offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the seeds that have been planted. We know that they're taking root and they'll return a great harvest. Lord, I pray that for every person that gives and for every person who may not be able to give, Lord, that you would still bless them. You would touch them in a great way, God. You'll touch their families. You'll touch their finances. You'll increase, God. You'll send the increase. And that you'll rebuke the locust. The locust will starve, but we won't. Now, Father, we thank you for these things. We thank you for all things. We trust you. We doubt you for nothing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So I do believe there's a word from the Lord today. Like I said, we had a great time this morning at Wycliffe. The message we're going to preach today is entitled, The Burning Fields. The burning fields. And I want you to kind of start to prepare your mind to kind of think of just those two words, the burning fields. Our scripture text is going to come from Isaiah 48, verses 10 and 11, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And it reads, I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering or the furnace of affliction. in the furnace of suffering. Verse 11, I will rescue you for my sake. Yes, for my own sake. That's the Lord right there putting his name on it. For my own sake. I will not let my reputation be tarnished. Now God is about to show out. And I will not share my glory with any idols. I will not let my reputation be tarnished. And I will not share my glory with any idols. Our scripture text today uses words such as furnace, refinement, suffering. And clearly it sounds like the heat has been turned up on someone's situation. Would you agree? If we read the full chapter, we learn that God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he's speaking to the people of Israel. They are living in captivity in Babylon and essentially have decided just to stay there and not believe that God can deliver them. Verses 10 and 11 are promises of refinement and deliverance, but like many of us, the people of Israel had to go through some rebuke. You had to go through some hard times. They were a little stubborn, like many of us. A little hard-headed, like my daughters. Just joking. Just joking. Just joking. But nonetheless, before obeying God, the people of Israel, in order to be delivered, the people of Israel had to obey God. They had to get to that point. They had to go through something to get to that point. And that's where it seems that, like many of us, there comes this trial by fire period. There comes these times where the heat gets turned up on us. It gets turned up on our situations, our circumstances, and our relationships, and our communities. That's where we come to find that in everything, that's where we really need the Lord. Amen? It seems that the furnace of affliction or refinement by way of destruction seemingly go hand in hand. The furnace of affliction by way of refinement and destruction go hand in hand. I'll make it some sense for it in a minute. But nonetheless, the only way to make it through that is through the Lord. So think about the word destruction for a moment. Chaos. Things are just crazy. Fire. All those things, they are relatable, right? All around us, it seems like destruction occurs in our personal lives, in our communities, in the world. We see it all the time. We watch the news. I'm not going to preach the news, but we're familiar with it. And whether this destruction occurs by our own hands or by the hands of someone else or Mother Nature, nonetheless, it's a part of life. We don't like it. It doesn't feel good. It even affects how we interact with one another. It affects how we feel personally. To see someone else suffer as a result of this destruction, as a result of hurt, you know, we tend to say, Lord, bless them, cover them, keep them safe. It causes us to pause and just reflect and say, for by grace, there go I. Some of us, maybe even in the room right now, if we're honest, we say we may be headed down a path to destruction, or we may be coming out of destruction. We're fighting, we're praying, we're holding on, and it seems that the battle seemingly is being lost, that we're losing the battle. The ground underneath us is falling, and we're slipping and sliding, and we don't often know which way to go. Or perhaps you've made it through the tough part, amen. But now you're asking the question, what's next? What direction do I go in now? What's on the other side of this? So for the purposes of our lesson today, we're going to examine this destruction. We're going to examine fire. We're going to talk about volcanoes too. I know this is not science class, but work with me. We're going to get somewhere. As far as you and I can remember, we've always been told that fire was something to be afraid of, that it was dangerous. We've seen it kill and disfigure. We've seen it just ravage homes and forest lands, what have you. We've seen it, its destructive powers up close. We've stood in fear, yet in wonderment at the same time, and we observed its powers. Thousands of acres of land scorched to the crisp, the result of maybe a careless camper or a lightning strike. We've seen these flames be uncontrollable and this blaze just have its way. And then we've witnessed the destructive powers of a volcano. Sometimes these volcanoes lay dormant for thousands of years, occasionally just sending off a puff of smoke or a rumble here or there. But by and large, they just stand off in the distance looking mighty and strong and threatening and wondering what's going to happen. However, once they erupt, these volcanoes spew this hot melted rock up in the air and ash. And these destructive forms of fire, they just make me take a pause. I step back and think and examine a bit. And I realize that these things are very real. These entities, these things called fire or and rock and volcano, they're very real, aren't they? But have you ever looked at how fire provides a reflection of our lives, of how fire is needed and used by Christ to be our center? I'm getting somewhere. Just stay with me for a moment. To start, have you ever wondered why God even created fire? Why? I mean, yeah, we use it to cook. We use it to light lamps and birthday candles, barbecue. It's a good weekend to do it. It keeps us warm on a winter's night. I've had my share of barbecue. But keeps us warm on a winter's night, and it keeps us safe. As long as I can see the fire at night, I know what direction I'm going in. However, there is another use for fire. It has been used by years, by farmers. They've used this fire to purposely scorch their earth, to scorch their crops. And what it does is it improves and increases the value of their land. Now you're asking, what are you talking about, Mario? A farmer who relies on crops to make his living intentionally burns the land, and yet it turns around and increases its value. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Just believe me. When properly managed, fire can rejuvenate and rejuvenate areas of land to create these healthy grasslands. The burning of this land causes for new growth. It causes for animals to eat off of this new growth and to have nesting places and hiding places from other animals that may want to attack them. The intentional fires that these farmers set lessen the growth of excessive weeds that otherwise would be used to choke off the good greenery, the good stuff, right? This fire, in essence, acts as nature's gardener. God created fire to be nature's gardener. He's a wonder. After the intentional burn has blackened the soil, the soil quickly absorbs sunlight. The warmed earth encourages seed growth. The burned plants remain and turn into fertilizer. So the topsoil has burned and scorched. Now it fertilizes the new growth. Stay with me, y'all. I'm going somewhere. Now, this new growth ultimately encourages the grass underneath to grow and roots to take form. And then there's a whole network of root systems beneath the earth's surface. So now you got sprouts of grass and greenery here, here, and here. Where on the surface, there's ash and destruction. So now you're getting new growth from fire, new growth from destruction. God's a wonder again with himself. The benefits of fire in our spiritual walk, they can't be overlooked. Right, There are times in our lives where these smoke, this smoke and these fumes that encompass around our lives, they begin to choke us out. They begin to hold us down. There are times when the heat of our circumstances has been turned up a notch. You all know what I'm talking about. The heat and the circumstances of our relationships, of our marriage, in our community, of our finances. These circumstances begin to bother us. It's getting hot. It's uncomfortable. But yet, fire still has a purpose. I want to remind you that same fire that is engulfing you, that in that same fire, you have a friend.
Yeah.
I want to remind you that friend is none other than the Lord Jesus himself. Now, let's not forget our homeboys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
You remember the story. They tossed them into the pit, lit it up. They looked in and they saw four. It was only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they went in. But when they looked, they saw four. There was a friend in the fire. And then on top of that, the three boys weren't even burnt up.
Right.
They had a friend in the fire that kept them safe.
Yeah.
They refused to succumb to the fiery trial that engulfed them. You see, this fire was set up for them to die within a flaming grave. But God said, not so. How many times have things just been crazy for us and then God said, not so?
Yeah.
You came home and then your wife said, I'm done, I went out. But then God said, not so. Mm-hmm. You went to the bank, they're ready to foreclose on your home. And all of a sudden God said, not so.
Yeah.
How many times has God been on your behalf? Anytime you've been within that fiery furnace, and all of a sudden he said, not so. Situations turned around because God said, not so. Because your spirit said, Lord, I need help. And he said, I got you. So whatever is going on, it's going to be a not so on the end of it. I'm going to bring you through. I'm going to carry you forth. And despite the heat that's around you, I got you. He said, not so. How many of us here have taken that stance of not so? How many of us today are under fire right now in this room and don't know what to do? Listen, when I was growing up, I don't know about y'all, but when I was growing up, they said that if you ever got trapped in a fire, the first thing you do is stop, then drop, then roll. I'm not going to do it today because my knees hurt. But stop, drop, and roll. I'm not going to do it right now. Too tired. Stop, drop, and roll. You see, you have a better chance of survival if what? You get underneath the flames. You see, that's where the fresh air exists. You see, God wants to meet you at your lowest point. Yes, 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 I love the Lord. He sits high, but guess what? He looks low. You all you have to do is get low and understand that the fire that is attempting to harm you and consume you, it is also being used to refine you.
Yeah.
If you're willing to trust God, if you're willing just to hold on within the firestorm, he's more than capable of turning your smoldering ashes into the blessing that you need.
Yeah.
He's more than capable of coming down to your broken place, your burnt place, your buried state of ash, and he'll fight for you. He'll give you new life. You see, he uses that dead situation that's surrounding you to actually give birth to the purpose that's inside of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He takes the dead things and gives purpose to it.
Yeah.
Feeds you, builds you up. You put on strength and then you're ready to roll.
Yeah.
Now, let's get back to this volcano. Let's not forget about the volcano. What are you going to do when life as you know it begins to erupt? When the dormant volcano in your life then begins to puff and rumble and becomes threatening. What are you going to do when the circumstances around you are hot? What are you going to do when the blackness and the cold begin to engulf you? What happens when the volcanic ash is spewed into the sky so high that it blocks out the sun, S-U-N, and causes you to feel that the sun, S-O-N, can't find you? It's in that moment you think, Lord, is this it? I'm going to suffocate in my circumstances. I'm going to die by fiery trial that I may not even had anything to do with. Is this the end? Is this how I'm going to go out? How can this be? One moment, Lord, everything is fine. I'm serving you. I'm praying. I'm reading my word. I go to church. I go to Bible study. My kids go to children's church. I'm praying at night. I pray before my meal. I pray as I walk into work. I'm conversating with you. God, I'm communing with you. And then all of a sudden, chaos? Really? Is this where we are now, Lord? Is this how things are going to turn out? What are you going to do? The first thing you're going to do is quit. You will not quit because you will not die in those circumstances. Now, yeah, you can try running from it, but I need you to understand that without Christ, during these times, you risk getting lost. The word says that the Lord's word would be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. So we need him there. So don't give up. He hasn't left you. Yeah, it doesn't feel good. The circumstances don't feel right. You're a little off. You're ready to fight, but you're tired. The sky's blackened out. You don't know what to do next. But if you just hold on to Christ's unchanging hand and allow him to lead you, he'll direct your path to safety and freedom. And once again, when God is in control, he'll take those smoldering ashes and he'll give you something brand new. Amen?
Amen.
Now, just in case someone may not believe me, just in case someone is wondering where I'm going with this, let me give you some proof. In Hamilton, New Jersey, on nearly 2,000 acres of land, today, there's a state forest called Wharton Park. And in this park, there's evidence that suggests that there was a fire or a volcanic eruption nearly 10,000 years ago. And as a result, out of the ashes of this fire or eruption, a rare flower has bloomed. This flower is called the Pine Barren. Now, this plant, it grows out of the ground, right? But it's only supported by the ashes that lay all around it. Someone say beauty from ashes. The burnt earth produces this beautiful green, yellow, and purple flower that can only be described as a modern day miracle. Now, let's talk about these colors for a moment. Green, yellow, and purple. Now, green is symbolic of resurrection. Okay? Now, you're getting resurrection from destruction. You're getting resurrection from burnt, scorched earth. The color purple, not the movie, but the color purple is obtained by mixing red. Red meaning the blood of Jesus. Mixing that color with blue. And blue is symbolic for the word of God and also the healing power of God. So you take the blood of Jesus, which is ultimately the healing power of God, and you get purple. And purple is priesthood or royalty. Then you got the color yellow. The color yellow is associated with fire, which in turn has always been associated with the purification process. So, again, fire and destruction and chaos on one hand, God takes it, turns it around, and we get purification, resurrection, royalty.
Yeah.
We get life from death.
Yeah.
We get beauty from ashes.
Yeah.
Tell me God isn't great.
Yeah.
The significance of these plants tells a story that life indeed exists, and it continues after the land that was supporting this life has been burned. You see, these plants tell a story. They echo to those of us who discover it, that life goes on even after something tragic has happened. Life goes on even after something was set up to kill you. Life goes on because what was meant to kill you has failed. Because God said, not so. Let's examine where we are today. Let's talk about what we're going through now. We're going through afflictions as a result of our burning season, of these burning lands. We've suffered as a result of decisions that maybe we can't take back. We made some choices. We messed up. Now we're going through some stuff. Y'all say stuff.
Stuff.
Yep. But I propose and I declare today that what was set up to keep you oppressed is really a setup for a new birth.
That's right.
It's really a setup for a comeback.
Yeah.
I'm getting excited about this part here myself. You see, a new birth in Christ Jesus is something that you can't buy. It's freely given. So no amount of money is going to give that to you. But don't misunderstand. You still have to go through some trials. You'll continue to have to go through of your refinement process. And in this season that you're in, you have to understand a couple of things. First, know that seasons change.
Yeah.
It ain't always going to be this way.
Okay.
It's not going to always be these hard times. It's not going to always be in the furnace. The heat won't always be turned up. Next, remember that although difficult, when you're in the fire or surrounded by these ashes, that there is an opportunity for growth.
Yeah.
God has his hand on your life, and he's watering the seed of your future right now. He's using fire to water the seed of your future. That don't even make sense. He uses water to water the seed of your future through fire. Water and fire are opposites, because you know that it's not supposed to work that way. But God said, I'm going to make it work.
Yeah.
You see, he's the author and the finisher of our stories. And yet our stories have yet to be completed. Now, he's the author and the finisher, not Buddha, not drugs, alcohol. He said in the scripture, no false idols. Isn't that what he said? He said, let me go back and make sure I read that right. I will not let my reputation be tarnished, and I will not share my glory with idols. There is no other God but Christ Jesus.
Right.
That's it. You've gone through this fire that the enemy of your soul intended to use to destroy you. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned around and made it for your good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't the enemy think any other way? Why wouldn't he think that he could just burn you up? Keep the heat turned up on you, you will wilt and quit. That's his mentality. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's breathing hell's fire in his lungs right now. So he's used to it. If he can pull you in, that makes his day. But once again, God said, not so. He dwells among the smoldering ash and the smoke. That's his place, not ours. So God saw fit that life's fire would be needed to serve a purpose for you. Your life, or your soil, if you will, is being turned over. It's being repurposed for the germination of God's ultimate glory. Your true worth is yet to be realized. Some of us are going through something now that, while it seems like the worst thing possible, it's really being used to develop us. Psalms 119:71 says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, or that I might learn his ways. It was good that I was afflicted, that I may learn thy ways. It was good that I was afflicted. Some of us were afflicted with different diseases and different situations and different circumstances. And there were scars. But the scars tell a story. The scars tell the story that you made it.
Yeah.
That you went through. That you didn't die.
Yeah.
And guess what? Someone told me at the first service that the color of a scar is purple, yellow, and underneath you can't see it, but there's green as well.
Wow.
Ain't that a trip? There's purpose in the pain. There's purpose in the fire.
Yeah.
He wants your ways, your lifestyle, your wrongs, your sins. He wants all of that. He wants to turn it around, refine you in the fire. And then he wants you to take on his ways, for his ways are what's best for us. God has not forgotten about us. What we have to remember is that the Lord is on our side. He wants to retrofit you for his purpose so that you can show others your scars and yet proclaim that I made it. You can tell the story. He wants to use your life to grab others out of the traps that so many of us have fallen into. The traps of hell, the traps of pain. He wants to use those stories so you can reach back and pull somebody else out of it and say, see, I made it, so can you. We can choose to be stagnant and keep all this joy to ourselves, or we can be vulnerable and say, come on, let me show you what I went through. Let me be real with you for a moment. I was in hell. My marriage was terrible. I lost my house. I was sleeping in my car. I was eating out of trash cans. I gave up. I was ready to die. I was ready just to let the fire of my circumstances take me under. But then Christ found me. But then the Lord said, not so. And through the ash and the smoke, he reached his hand down and pulled me out. But something had to happen first. I had to reach up. I had to be vulnerable enough to say, God, I need your help. Yeah. The moment I reached up, he reached down. Yeah. And he pulled me up. Good, the Lord says, if you're willing to give me your frustrations and your anger and your pain and your confusion and your bitterness, I'll make an even exchange with you, and I'll give you hope and joy, right, and love and peace and a sound mind, my God. Yeah. He's saying that if you allow the comfort and the release of repentance to enter in and you just call upon my name, yeah, I'll pour out my spirit unto you, yeah, and I'll make you my own. You see, the Lord is looking for people that will follow him and be willing to say, for you, Lord, I live. And for you, Lord, I breathe. And for you, Lord, I serve. And for you, Lord, I give my life. It's times like these that the Lord will let the cooling waters of his grace finish the process that the fires began in your life. The fires started the process. God's grace, the cooling waters, will finish the process. Amen. The Lord says that these cooling waters are on the way soon, that you'll pass along these benefits of these waters to others. He told me to tell you today that out of your belly will flow rivers of living waters, living waters of truth, living waters of joy, living waters that indeed show that you can get beauty from ashes. You'll know once that you drink from these waters that your experiences, your refinement by fire, will be used to save someone else, and that your testimony will be used for his glory. Yeah. What we have to understand and have hope in is that God is not like man. He cannot lie. He cannot go against his own word. He puts his name on it. Again, Isaiah 48:11, the prophet hears from the Lord and states, for my own sake. And then he reiterates, even for my own sake. He backs himself up with that statement. Will I do it? For how should my name be polluted? How will my name be polluted? I can't pollute my own name, so I have to do it. I have to deliver you. I have to pull you out. And then, more than anything, I'll do it because I'm not going to give my glory to anybody else. Meaning, just as sure as my name is God, I am capable and willing to deliver you out of any and every situation. Yeah. We can take it even further by knowing that God himself, just so we can have an earthly example, he placed himself in flesh, came down here on earth, was willing to give himself up over to death, although temporarily. But he did it in order for you and I to see that his word and his promises are undeniable. He declares that no one else can do it, that all the glory belongs to him. Yeah. He meets us in our fire so that we know we're not alone and we're not forgotten about. The comforter of our souls has been right there with us every step of the way. He's walked with us. He's talked with us, even in those dark situations. And he's stayed with us during those times in which we felt that nobody cared. When we were all alone. We felt that nobody had our backs. He was there when we cried. He was there when we slept. He was speaking to our hearts, speaking to our spirits. He was there when we wondered why. And little did we know that our tears instantly gave us access and favor with God. He loves the brokenhearted. Yeah. He loves the brokenhearted. And he relishes in the opportunity to comfort and save. So for those of you in the room who may be going through something, you may be wondering why. Your circumstances don't seem quite right. You're wondering where you may spend tonight. Where am I going to sleep? What am I going to eat? I just want you to know that no matter what you've done or who you've done it with, that at this moment, it doesn't matter. All I care about today is that you know that the Lord forgives and that your burning season will produce life. That the scars of our transgressions are merely the signs that you've been through something and it didn't kill you. I care about today that you realize that someone loves you and is concerned about you. That no matter the obstacles and the challenges that these burning fields of life have cast upon you, that you can come to realize that good can come from it. It's not a death sentence. So if I'm talking to you and you hear me today, I just want you to see that the Lord knew that today would be your day to spring up like the pine barren, to push through the ashes, to reach out for not only the S-U-N son, but to reach out for the S-O-N son. I want you to realize that long before your birth, you carved out this moment in history, or the Lord carved out this moment in history just for you. That while you were still in your mother's womb, he promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. I want you to know that you have to be encouraged, that as you begin or even continue your journey, that you must bathe your life in Christ, that you bathe your life in prayer. I care that you know that you're this rare, beautiful plant that can grow among the ashes, and that you take the opportunity to dive deeper into the Word of God. It's my prayer that from this day forward, you'll know that your burning fields were intended for the rebirth of your growth. It is my hope that you come to realize that in the process of being placed in that fiery furnace with the heat turned up, that you'll know that others have gone before you and they've survived. So in essence, you now have a responsibility. You now must go and grow. You now must grow and go. Either way it goes, it works. Let the perfecting ways of the Lord's fire have his work in you. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. May his peace give you comfort like no other can. And may your futures be bright and full of joy. My prayer is that you forgive yourselves as Christ has forgiven you. That the fires of your life won't engulf you. I pray that you earnestly seek God's face in the midst of this affliction, hurt, and pain. I pray that through the ash and through the smoke, you continue to seek his face, but you gotta get low. Get beneath the fumes, get beneath the smoke. Getting low means getting on your knees. It means getting on your face before the Lord and saying, God, I need you. It's hot. It's hot in my marriage. It's hot on the job. It's hot in my finances. God, you placed something within me. And yet, while I have this burning desire to let it out, I'm yet burning in my current situations. My lifestyle isn't right. It's hot. And before I can do anything else, I need to get straight. God, how come such and such isn't working out? Why isn't A, B, and C falling in place? Because it's hot. But the Lord is saying, I'm standing here, I'm going to pour out these cooling waters. I'm going to pour it all over you. This grace, this mercy, my love, and the opportunity for repentance. It's here today. All you have to do is reach up and grab it. If you're in the room, I'm going to ask altar workers to come. If you're willing to pray with someone, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And if this prayer impacts you, or if this message impacted you, and you hear the Lord speaking to your heart right now, I encourage you to come and pray with these very capable people. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. But Father, I thank you for who you are. God, you're still on the throne. There's none like you under heaven or earth. And God, our situations are hot. The fiery trials that we're in, the furnace, the heat's turned up. I don't know what to do, Lord. God, my marriage. God, my sickness. God, my finances. God, my struggles. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I give it all to you. I'm not holding nothing back. God, when I come to this altar, Father, I leave it here. I give it all to you, Lord. And let the fires of refinement begin. And let the fires of my purpose start to take shape. I let the fires just make me what you want me to be. I'm this beautiful rare flower. I'm ready to bloom, but I gotta push through the ashes first, God. I can't push through without you, Lord. God, would you just slip your hand from heaven? Just pull me up. If I can get a little ray of sun, S-U-N, but more so S-O-N, I know that I can make it. Despite the volcanic ash and the heat, your cooling waters of grace will keep me safe. Father, I pray this prayer for every heart in the room today. Me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity just to get it right. We thank you for an opportunity to grow and go. We thank you for turning situations around and shifting things the way they ought to be. We thank you for everything, and we doubt you for nothing. And in Jesus' mighty name, all the people said, amen. God bless you.
We just thank you, Jesus. We thank Pastor Mario Hauser. We just pray blessings. Whew, blessings on you guys. And as Pastor Mario said, come up. Any prayer, you guys, any prayer. When two or three are gathered in his name, just ask. Just ask and it shall be done. It's a power of prayer right here, you guys. It's just the power right here, right here. Ooh, we love you, Jesus, and we thank you. We just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. And just know, Church on the North Coast, we love all of you, and we thank you. Feel free to stay. Feel free to just bask in just the anointing of the worship. Come up, receive prayer. Feel free. Just feel free to. And just know, we love you, and there is nothing you can do about it. And we pray we can see you next Saturday. Anytime from 5 to 8, come on to the picnic, and the sign-up sheet is out there on the table, okay? We love you guys, and we thank you.